Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, and thank you oh so much for the many blessings you pour upon us each and every day, and now the blessed opportunity once again to get back into your Word. Help us now as we get back into our Bible study from A to Z in the Word guidance. Lead, guide, and direct it as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. As we said, returning to our study on guidance, if you will, turn to Acts chapter 8 and pick it up here in verse 26. Where we see some guidance given to Philip, an angel actually guiding Philip, where it reads, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority, under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet." Now, when you see Isaiah in the New Testament, it's Isaiah of the Old Testament. "Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him, and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this: He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearers, so opened he not his mouth. And that can be found over in Isaiah 53. As he continues, "In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speakest the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Isn't that awesome that he determined that by what little interaction that he had with Philip? This shows that the Holy Ghost was already working with the eunuch, and that he was ready, prepared. Then Philip was allowed to be a part of the work of the Holy Ghost and help this man to the next step, to actually profess his belief and to be baptized. As it continues, "And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea." Another miraculous event taking place right there, where Philip was transported right from that one point to the other. You don't see very many incidences of that, but here we see that actually taking place. We know Jesus was able to do that when he had his resurrected body to appear and disappear in different places. Is that what happened here at Philip? We don't have a lot of details here, but we know he was gone and then back again somewhere else. Did he just slip away casually and make his journey over there? Or was he actually transported from one place to the other? We truly don't know, but it is very curious. All right, now, if you will, continue right on to Acts chapter 9, and here we see a conversion of Saul. Now, we know Saul at this time still a fairly young fella, and that he was participant in the stoning of Stephen, that he was there and they laid down the clothes at Saul's feet. Now, Saul was a Pharisee, so he'd been trained in the Old Testament. And Saul, what was going on around there, witnessed Jesus Christ personally and the development of the believers and the spreading of the gospel, witnessed that, but was contrary to it. He was one of the Jews that was seeking to stop Christianity and to destroy as many Christians as possible. And he had been a part of that, and there had been such persecution in Jerusalem that they were running out of Christians to persecute. So Saul decides he wants to seek out more and wants to go to Damascus and hunt down more Christians to take them back to Jerusalem so they can be persecuted and even slaughtered in horrible, torturous ways. And we see Saul being converted on the road to Damascus and being guided to become a great missionary. And we see another man, Ananias, here, which was guided by the Lord to help Saul, as we see this unfolding in Acts chapter 9. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way being the Christian persuasion, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell on to the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? So this was Jesus Christ himself reaching out to Saul, actually converting Saul and making him the next apostle, the next to be sent out and spread the gospel to the Gentiles primarily. And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? That was the perfect response for Saul to have. In that instant, he come to his senses of reality, and realized the error of his way. Acknowledged Jesus as Lord, ultimate authority, humbled himself and saying, What would you have me to do? Submitting himself to the Lord. Read 6 again. And he, Saul, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in, and putting his hand on him, that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith, and arose, and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogue, that he is the Son of God. But all that heard him were amazed, and said, Is not this he that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem, and came hither to for that intent, that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests? But Saul increased the more in strength, and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is the very Christ. Converted. Transformed into a new creature, you might say. And went out to be one of the greatest missionaries of all times. Guided by the Holy Ghost. Initiated directly by the Lord Jesus right there on that road to Damascus. And then the Lord reaching out to Ananias to guide Saul further. Now you know of Saul as being called Paul also. Saul was his Hebrew name, and Paul being his Greek name. When he was focused on presenting himself as a Pharisee, he went by the name Saul, the Hebrew version of his name. But then when he went into the mission field, primarily going to the Gentiles, which most of them spoke Greek, he went by his Greek name, Paul. So that's why you see the change in the recorded name of Saul being Paul in the New Testament. All right, let's look at some others that being guided by the Lord to spread the gospel further, and that would be Peter over in Acts chapter 12. Picking it up right here in verse 1. Now about that time Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. Now James and John were the fishermen that were buddies with Andrew and Peter, and James was the older brother of James and John, also known as the sons of thunder that the Lord called them. Their father was Zebedee. We get back into it. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quartarians of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Just to bring out another interesting point here, we see the word Easter used in the King James Version. And the word Easter here could also be interpreted as Passover. So, intending after the Passover. As we continue here in verse 5, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, Arise up quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, Gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he saith unto him, Cast thy garment about thee and follow me. So here, being guided by an angel to go right out of that prison. And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. See, he couldn't even realize that, hey, this is really happening here. Am I dreaming? When they were past the first and the second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, Now I know of a certainty that the Lord hath sent his angel, and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod, and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken, named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, Thou art mad. But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, It is his angel. But Peter continued knocking. And when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. But he, beckoning unto them with the hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, Go, show these things unto James and to the brethren. And he departed and went into another place. So we see how the angel actually guided him right out of that prison. Took him right back to the crowd there so they could see what was going on, that the Lord had delivered him, that the Lord had answered their prayers. All right, now if you will, turn over to Acts chapter 13. And we see here some guidance, once again, by the Holy Ghost in Acts chapter 13. Begin up here in verse 1. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manani, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. Separate them out. He's specifically now giving Saul and Barnabas an assignment to go out and to start spreading the gospel, being guided by the Holy Ghost. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had also John to their minister. And when they had gone through the Isle of Patmos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him, and said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. Now, when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga and Pamphylia, and John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. Now, this John here is actually also known as Mark, the one referred to earlier, not the Apostle John. So what you got to be careful with on the names throughout the New Testament is it's very confusing sometimes, like the word John. There's a lot of Johns mentioned in the Word of God. So you got to know which one they're talking about to keep it straight. All right, now turn on over to Acts chapter 18. And we see here another reference of being guided by a vision in Acts chapter 18. Pick it up here in verse 1. After these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth, and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome, and came unto them. And because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought. For by their occupation, they were tent makers. Interesting here thing to bring out. Paul, on his sideline, you might say, was a tent maker. That's how he made some money. And he used that money to help support him in his ministry. And here he's teamed up with a couple other Christians that are also tent makers. Verse 4. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath, and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. And when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit, and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. And when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them, Your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From henceforth I will go unto the Gentiles. Interesting point there also to bring out. Just sometimes there's a door that's closed. They will not listen. They plug their ears. They cover their eyes. And sometimes it's time to just shake the dust off, turn them over to the Lord, and move on to someone else. Verse 7. And he departed thence and entered into a certain man's house named Justus, one that worshipped God, whose house joined hard to the synagogue. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house, and many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision, Be not afraid, but speak, and hold not thy peace. For I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. That would be some comforting words to hear right there, given to Paul after what he's already been through and what he's facing, that while he's there, at that time, in that place, that he was going to be safe. Now, that wouldn't apply unto him in the future, because once he leaves there, he gets into some other stuff and eventually winds up getting his head cut off. But right there, the Lord was giving him some comfort and giving him some guidance. And it was, I'm sure, some very good words to hear. As it says here in verse 11, And he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the Word of God among them. Teaching the Word of God, guiding others to see the pathway to the Lord. And in that, we know that when we become guides, we need to live properly. We need to go by what we are taught by the Holy Ghost and the Word of God. And then, as they say, practice what you preach. As we see over in Romans chapter 2, speaking of this subject, Paul to the church at Rome, pick it up here in verse 16. In a day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel, behold, thou art called a Jew, and restest in the law, and makest thy boast of God, and knowest his will, and approvest the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law, and art confident that thou thyself art a guide of the blind, a light of them which are in darkness. Now, this calling yourself a Jew, or called a Jew, here he's actually speaking of how when they were coming into the family of God, that they would call themselves a Jew, a follower of the Lord, is what you could apply that to as well. And he's saying, if you're proclaiming that you are a Christian, if you're calling yourself a follower, a believer in God, that would apply to this. In verse 19, and art confident that thou thyself art a guide of the blind. See, when we become a follower of Jesus Christ, he gives us the opportunity to guide others to him as well. A light of them which are in darkness. And that light comes from Jesus Christ, shines through us into those around us. An instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which hath the form of knowledge and of the truth in the law. Thou therefore, which teacheth another, see this pinpoints it to anybody who is a teacher, anybody that is an instructor, a pastor, a preacher, whatever, a missionary, reads, thou therefore, which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself? Thou that preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal? Thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? Thou that makest thy boast of the law, through breaking the law, dishonorest thou God? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written. For circumcision verily profiteth, if thou keep the law. But if thou be a breaker of the law, thy circumcision is made uncircumcision. Therefore, if the uncircumcision keep the righteousness of the law, shall not his uncircumcision be counted for circumcision? And shall not uncircumcision, which is by nature, if it fulfill the law, judge thee, who by the letter of circumcision doest transgress the law? For he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. So being circumcised or uncircumcised had nothing to do with salvation. That's what he's telling them here. You can't stand on just the fact that you're circumcised, that identifies you as a Jew, because even somebody who's not circumcised could still be considered a Jew because they are circumcised in their heart. That's what counts, that cutting away of the flesh and the rising up of the spirit. Read verse 29 again. But he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. So practice what you preach. You don't get there by just following the ordinances of the Old Testament. Let's pray. Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. It's so powerful. Help us always to have that burning desire to dig deep into the air and get all the messages you want us to receive. Encourage us to go out and share them with others. Thank you all so much for the guidance that you give us by way of the Holy Ghost and your word. As we pray in Jesus' precious holy name, amen. Thank you all.